pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, our one podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Welcome back. We are glad you are here. Middle of the week, and every time we go to the headlines these days, I feel like we ought to be doing the show with the Capitol behind us and Congress in session, because they all seem to be about the same subject. The question is, will any of these bills ever get out of committee and ever get passed? Let's start with the latest from NIL. And you got Manchin and Tuberville coming out with a new legislation to standardize NIL rules, regulate collectives. This sounds great, but the devil, as they say in D.C., is in the details. And once you look into these bills, you find out there's a lot that college athletes are not going to like, even if their administrators do. Some very big restrictions in here. We'll talk more about that as we roll on throughout the program. And just when you thought you'd seen all the NIL bills, we got another one. A third NCAA bill, and this is the problem, and not to give commentary with the news, but everybody else does it, so why can't I? It would be nice if all these people could coalesce around one, and maybe it would be effective. Instead, you have competing bills, and when that happens in Congress, nothing gets done. And while that is going on, this is according to Ross Dellinger, Congress and the NCAA squabble NIL collectives lead push on revenue sharing. There are so many things happening, and what is really getting done? That is the issue. Who knows more about this? Well, I don't know if he knows that much about it, but we're going to ask him. Ralph Russo joining us, who covers college football for the Associated Press. I know he knows a lot, because I saw Ralph a couple weeks ago in D.C., covering all of these leaders in college athletics, including Charlie Baker, the new NCAA president. Ralph, thanks for the time. Good afternoon. And put all of this into perspective for us. What does it mean, and where are we going?
Yeah, who knew, Paul, when I wanted to become a sports writer growing up, I was actually going to have to be a little bit of a political reporter. I did not have that. Did not have that on the bingo card. So you're right as far as it would be nice if this coalesced around one, but everybody who has been sort of involved in this, as the way lawmakers want to do, kind of wants to get their name on something and get out there and show, hey, I'm doing this. This is one of my issues, and I'm doing something. I would say a good sort of rule of thumb for your listeners is if it's not a bipartisan bill, you should probably sort of put that one to the side and assume that while that might become part of a conversation, it's probably not going anywhere. So there have been a couple of bipartisan actions in the last couple of weeks. Last week, Cory Booker, Blumenthal, and Jerry Moran, I think from Kansas. And, of course, yesterday or earlier this week the days are running into each other, with Tuberville and Manchin. Those are both bipartisan. The Tuberville-Manchin one, the poison pills in there, I think, are, A, it wants to regulate the transfer portal and sort of go back to, like, the old days where, or something similar, like you have to be at school for 3 years before you can transfer and be automatically eligible. That is not happening. That is definitely not happening, at least not with some kind of collective bargaining and something that looks a little bit more like employee status. The other thing in the Manchin bill, it would preclude states from allowing schools to revenue share with players. And again, it's not necessarily that's a big issue, but that's something that the people who advocate for the players, it's not that they just don't want that in these bills. They want that left as sort of like, we're going to push that to a different bucket and deal with that later. So, yeah, I don't know if anything is going to get done, but I would just say, like, look for the bipartisan bills as the one where there could be some more discussion and where there might be something that could get done.
Ralph, I realize there's a lot happening, and I just went over a small portion of it. Hate to turn you into a prognosticator, but it's certainly easier to look ahead than to try to figure out what we're looking at now. What's the next move? Where does this go, and will it be resolved in the near term?
Well, the other thing that's happening in Indianapolis is the NCAA has decided, hey, we need to come up with a plan B here. Like, if we don't get some kind of political help from Washington. And again, that's not a place where you can rely on a lot happening, especially heading into an election year. So the clock's ticking on that. I think the NCAA is finally going to make a move themselves and say, okay, we're going to come up with some rules. We're going to try to regulate this thing on our own, and damn the torpedoes. We'll wait for the lawyers to attack, but we have to do something. Now, again, it's a plan B, and there's some talk about that, you know, going on this week in Indianapolis with, you know, a working group. The NCAA loves its committees and working groups. Yeah, so we'll see what happens with that. But I at least tip my cap to the fact that, like, hey, you better have a plan B. Because if you're just relying on those guys in Washington, like, that seems like tightrope walking without a net.
Now, Ralph, I don't want to be too much of a cynic here, but when I hear working group, I hear working group makes recommendation, it gets studied, and it goes nowhere fast.
I mean, that would be the MO, right? I mean, that would be how this usually works in the NCAA. Now, again, Charlie Baker, the new president, has talked a big game about expediting these issues, being more nimble, moving a little. Like, listen, they've been dealing with this for more than at least two years since the ban got lifted. Time before that, they started working on it. I mean, at this point, like, you've kind of talked about everything, haven't you? I think the part of the problem, though, is once NIL becomes something that is legal, to put it simply, now all these other issues sort of pop up, right? Like two and a half years ago, nobody ever thought of a collective. Well, now that's a thing, right? So they have to sort of figure out what you want to do with that. But, I mean, again, they've been talking about this issue for so long. It's not like it needs to be. How much more discussion do you really need?
Ralph, let me get to two really more pressing issues in intercollegiate athletics. First, with the one that getting a lot of headlines, I don't know what it means, and that's the Jim Harbaugh conundrum. Nobody has made anything official yet. A lot of reporting on this, that he could take at least a four-game suspension against four tomato cans, including one from the Big Ten, not far from your desk right now. Does that mean anything? What does it say? And it's, I know it doesn't really affect Michigan because he still gets to coach.
Yeah, I mean, important that, like, NCAA rules say the suspensions are for games, so he could coach during the week. Listen, ideally, you don't want your head coach not to be there. I mean, it's not the best situation. But, you know, against East Carolina, UNLV, Bowling Green, and Rutgers, yeah, they'll survive, most likely. I'm sure they will survive. You know, the interesting issue here is just how we got here, right? I mean, what the violations that were committed by Michigan, impermissible contact, some contact during the COVID dead period, coaching through Zoom, like, they were not stuff that was going to rise to, like, you know, code, you know, just high level violations. The thing that got Jim Harbaugh in trouble was the cover up is always worse than the crime. And he was not, I'll just say he apparently was not forthright with investigators. And, you know, the one you can't do with the NCAA because they are so reliant on cooperation from their members, from the schools, to be part of the enforcement process. If you don't cooperate, that's when they get really angry. And that's how this became, you know, as opposed to, you know, it went from, you know, a smoldering embers to a five-alarm fire that led to his suspension. But again, other than, you know, they're so good, I don't think this is going to be a problem for them on the field. And the other thing I'd say is right now it's kind of at a plea agreement stage and a judge has to approve of it, right? I know that's kind of going around the news today, a little bit of that type study outside of college football.
Yeah,
so I'll just use that analogy. Right now it's kind of like a plea agreement. Everybody kind of thinks that this is going to be what's happened, but there's still a committee on infractions that needs to rubber stamp it.
And the other story, which I think it is far more relevant today, and that's the complete and total disaster that is Northwestern football. Media days going on today. Players aren't there. The coach really can't say anything because he wasn't around. Put this one into perspective for us.
Yeah, hard one. I think the thing that every day, I think Northwestern's administration looks worse on this. I got to say, like, if I'm the players, I'm not coming to media day either, because hell, my AD hasn't done a press conference on this. My president did an interview with the school newspaper, so that was a step. Like, I would like the adults to address this beforehand. And you're right, they throw a coach out there who's only been there since January. So yes, if I'm a player, I might say, you know what, I'm going to take a pass on this. Like, I don't want to be the one who has to explain all of this, even though a lot of explanation needs to be done. Yeah, I mean, it feels like Northwestern athletics needs to be unplugged and rebooted. There's so much that seemingly is going wrong there. And listen, the other thing that happens is once a few things start going wrong, it's a little easy to pile on. With other complaints. So I think right now this is register your complaints about Northwestern time, and they're not doing a very good job of stemming the tide here.
Ralph, the next time we actually will ask you about the upcoming college football season, which is around the corner. Great to have you on. Ralph Russo knows so much about the world of college football from his perch in New York at the AP. We'll take a break. Your phone calls are right around the corner.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's HIMS.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. HIMS.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Matthew Mitchell, remember him? Former UK women's coach. Now he's an author. Did his mother write Gone with the Wind? No, that was Margaret Mitchell. And Peter Nakos joining us from On Three. Isn't it? It seems like everybody's at On Three these days. Daryl is not, and he joins us first. Good afternoon, Daryl.
Paul, I think I figured out what the process is, Paul. You know the process that Nick Saban talks about, right?
I've heard of it, yes.
Okay, well, it's simple. It's simply stated. The process is two words. Kirby Smart. That's the process. That's the problem at Alabama. Let me give you an example of that, okay? We know who our quarterback – we knew going into last year, before the season started, who our quarterback was going to be this year, Carson Beck. We know who our quarterback's going to be after Carson Beck is gone, Brock Vandergrift. We know who our quarterback's going to be after Brock Vandergrift's gone, Gunnar Stockton. We know who our quarterback's going to be after Gunnar Stockton's gone, the kid we just signed. Alabama is what, for 4 or 6 weeks before the season started? They don't even know who their quarterback is, Paul. They don't even know right now who their quarterback is. But I can tell you who the quarterback's going to be for Georgia for the next 4 years. And by the time they become the starter, Paul, because of that, they're ready, okay? The stage is not too big for them. They're ready. They're developed. Kirby Smart, Paul. Kirby Smart takes football players and develops them and gets them to their full potential. That was proven with Stetson Bennett.
Daryl, you act like Nick Saban doesn't. You act like Nick Saban doesn't have hundreds of players in the NFL. I mean, Nick Saban has a pretty nice track record on development.
He did when Kirby Smart was there. He sure did. He had the highest quarterback last year.
Have you ever heard of college football?
You know what?
Darryl, you ever heard of Jalen Hurts, Mac Jones, Tua Tagovailoa, Bryce Young? You ever heard of any of those guys? I don't think Kirby Smart had anything to do with them.
They end up losing them. That's their problem right there. Let me give you another example, Paul. How about Jermaine Burton? What did he do? He left Georgia because he wanted to go somewhere. He thought his stock would rise. Where was Jermaine Burton? When he left Georgia, Paul, he was second-team All-SEC. This year, he was third-team All-SEC. Ladd McConkey, on the other hand, was first-team All-SEC. That's another example right there, Paul, a developing football player. Jermaine Burton has just stopped
his way down. You're now determined.
I guarantee
you're now equating
Ladd McConkey will be drafted.
Whether you're on the preseason All-SEC team has success. Darryl,
what?
Do me a favor. You're welcome to engage here anytime, but why don't you come up with some new material?
This is new material, Paul.
No, this is retread.
Where's Diamond at?
This is like a one-hit wonder in rock music.
Okay.
And the guy has one hit, and he does a greatest hits record.
What are you going to do, Paul?
The problem is you don't have a greatest hits, Darryl.
Then what are you going to say?
You don't even have one good song.
What are you going to say when we go back-to-back-to-back, Paul? What's going to be your answer then?
I am going to say, I was right. I'm predicting the same thing. I'm just not being as obnoxious about it as you are.
Where's I-Man at?
What's that?
Where's I-Man at?
Darryl, I'm really not
Legend?
In charge of
– Larry?
Legend was here last night.
Larry?
Larry was here.
Oh, Larry was here. Jim from Tuscaloosa?
No, Jim.
No, Jim. I'm just naming all the people, Paul, that you know, keeps you employed at ESPN. You know what I mean? Because ESPN gets a package deal with you, Paul. They will never cut you. They realize they get a package deal with Paul Feinbaum. I already told you how you keep your job there. Just don't make more than you're worth. You know what I mean? Because that was the issue with a lot of them people got cut. You cannot tell me, Paul. There's no way, I'm sorry, okay? No guy that sits up there and talks about sports should make $2 million a year. Doctors don't make that. People that save people's lives don't make that kind of money. They shouldn't make that kind of money. Way overpaid. Wait, but you never have to worry about that. You're safe.
I am now. Bubba is up next. Good afternoon, Bubba.
Welcome back, Paul.
Thank you.
Question for you. Does Darryl seem just a tad bit insecure to you?
Tad bit would be nice. That's a generous thing to say.
If he's not worried about how much Roman Harper suits cost or what you make or where Jim and I man's at, he's worried about Nick not having a quarterback. Well, I would be quite delighted if I knew he didn't have a good quarterback lined up if I was Georgia. So this sounds to me like a bunch of insecurity coming out of Darryl. And if you lose him as a caller, we have lost nothing, my friend.
Well, I disagree with you, Bubba. If we lose Darryl as a caller, we all gain.
Well, yeah, you're right. But I've been hearing this randomly thrown out about would Nick Saban be on a hot seat. Let me tell you folks something. Nick Saban does not sit in a seat. He sits in a throne. Nick Saban will leave Alabama when Nick Saban is ready to leave Alabama. That thing reclines. It's got heat and air on it, and it vibrates. Get over it, people. I get so sick of people, oh, he's getting too old. He's lost it. You better strap it on and get ready for the season because Nick Saban's doing that very thing right now.
Thank you very much. We had to, man, it's been a while since Andre joined us. Good afternoon, Andre.
Coach Paul Feinbaum, I listen to you all the time, but, you know, sometimes driving this 18-wheeler, I don't get a chance to call. You know what? I wish they would replay your show at night, Coach, because I start out here at 12:30 in the morning. So I wish that every now and then you might be have a replay on. How come they don't do that more often, Coach Fireball?
Well, Andre, right now you may be talking about radio, but
yeah.
Yeah, but on the TV side, this show is right. on at 2 Eastern, 1 Central every night, in case you're up or late at night in California. Yeah, we are being replayed.
Yeah. I'm talking about
so that
radio.
Means we have eight hours on TV, a third of the 24 hours. I don't think much is replayed on radio though. But I'll
every now and then.
But I hear you.
I you know you got to hear that nerd, that weird Chris Childer. He should never, and I mean never, be on the SEC network. Period. He's a Big Ten homer and a Notre Dame homer. How in the world he get on the SEC network, Coach?
Now, I didn't realize he was. So is that the SEC channel on Sirius XM?
Yes.
Okay. Are we on that? I'm not. I mean, I really don't. I mean, that's a channel that was. Yeah, we're on 81, and then that's an add-on channel. We may be on there too. I really don't know.
Listen, Derek Mason told Texas and Oklahoma last week to get ready, and he wasn't lying because this conference here is a different thing than over there in the Big 12. And listen, I heard him talking about you this morning on the Big 12 network.
I mean, what were they saying, Andre?
Then you took shots at Iowa State.
Well, no, I was trying to make I was being interviewed, Andre, by a reporter from Oklahoma, and
right.
the guy asked me, he said, what's the difference between the Big 12 and the SEC? And I said, I said there are 12 schools. There are 12 schools, and there are 12 locations in the SEC that would make Ames, Iowa, look like a kindergarten class.
That's what they said, too. They didn't like it, though, but they talked about it this morning. But as always, Coach Feinbaum, I enjoy your show. It's a pleasure to have you on the air, and have a nice day. Thank you for taking
Thank
my
you,
call.
Andre. You be careful out there on those 18-wheelers in 120-degree heat. Thanks for the call. We'll take a break. We have much more to come. We are off and running here on a Wednesday afternoon.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Can we appreciate all of you being here? Let's talk to Jason up next. Hey, Jason.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
We are doing well. Thanks a lot.
Daryl needs to slow down and calm down. I guess he didn't really know how to have a conversation. It's just speed talk. And he really doesn't have – he's not right, first of all. I'm a Georgia fan as well. But we don't know who the quarterback is.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, when you have the number one quarterback in the country coming in –
4 years,
Dylan,
he wouldn't be there.
What's his name? Dylan, whatever is it?
Rayola?
Yeah, Rayola. Nobody's going to, it doesn't go in order, Daryl. I mean,
No, it doesn't.
Dylan will be in the NFL before that group finishes playing.
And I thought it was funny. The first Alabama fan of the day brings up insecurity.
Right.
I wonder why that is. I wonder who really is insecure. That's the first thing you think of is insecurity.
Jason, please don't insult Alabama fans. I mean, we wouldn't be here without them.
Alabama. That's what you got to say, Paul. Alabama. If I was Alabama, I don't know if his passing ability is just that poor, but it seems like the Milrow kid, I would really try to go back to running the ball and let him run a lot because he seems like Justin Jefferson on steroids.
Yeah, no, he's got a lot of talent as long as he's in control. Hey, thank you very much for sharing that. Let's check in with Brylan in Tennessee. Hey, Brylan.
Hello, Paul. It's been a long time, hasn't it?
Yeah. How's everything going?
Well, it's been a pretty good summer. Other than that South Carolina loss, I've had a pretty good, year. But
That's good to hear.
Yeah. I don't mean to take much of your time, but, Paul, I kind of have, a career plan, get in kind of the media, the business that you're in, sports. And, do you have any advice or anything that you would give to kind of, help somebody get a start in that kind of field or?
Well, Brian, if I remember meeting you, you're still a pretty young guy, aren't you?
Yeah.
Okay. So what year are you in school?
I'll be going to my junior year this year.
Yeah. Didn't we meet in Knoxville last year?
You met my parents.
Okay, I met your mother. Okay. Your mom and dad were at our show on that Friday. Okay, I do remember that now. Well, I think at your age you have a lot of time. So I think you just need to get involved in doing things and getting experience. I know that sounds pretty nebulous, but is there a specific part of the industry you would like to study or go into?
I mean, I would love to be part of college football. I mean, that's just my favorite sport. It always has been.
Okay.
And I just love it. I love the game.
Now, do you want to talk about it, write about
it?
Yeah,
I could be a sports writer. I could be a broadcaster, commentator, anything with college football.
Well, here's what I would recommend. By the way, you don't have to, do it formally, but try different aspects of it, whether it's writing about things that you see, whether it's, broadcasting into your computer or your phone, and just kind of figure out which part of that industry you're interested in, and then try to maybe in do you have anything at your school in relation to that? Are there any extracurricular activities that would be related to radio, TV, writing, any of that?
No, not really.
Okay. Where are you thinking about going to school down the road?
Probably UT.
I would think you have time. Not to bore you with my own haphazard career, but I didn't get involved in the industry until my junior year. And what it did was it hindered me from getting a good job out of school. But I was still able to get one. So I would talk to a guidance counselor maybe at your school, and have them help guide you maybe with some things, because to send you into some it's not that easy at your age to get a job in the industry, but you could do something I'll try to give it some thought. Maybe when I'm up there this fall, we could talk about it a little bit more. But I would try to get connected to some of the local, whether it's TV, radio, and just try to learn. Maybe just go down to one of the stations one day, or call somebody. Obviously, just don't show up. But and maybe just kind of hang around and see what happens. And that way, you might be able to learn more specifically what interests you. By the way, you have plenty of time once you get to school, and once you get there, you can plan your curriculum, but you may want to try to experiment before you get there.
Yeah, we do have a radio station, and we have a TV station, but it's not too big, but yeah,
All I'm suggesting to you though is not so much that you have to be a play-by-play broadcast, but go down there and observe it. See what they do, and offer to help out and do things. And once you see it in real time, you may have a better idea of what you want to do.
Go ahead.
Yeah, and if I can help you, just let me know. I mean, I'm not hard to find, and I'll be more than happy to talk to you one day about it off the air and try to guide you even before I get up to Knoxville. But let's try that first.
Yeah. I appreciate it, Paul. I mean, I know you're one of the best in the business, so it's always good to hear advice from you and you.
Well, thank you, Brian. Say hello to your mom and dad for me. I enjoyed meeting them when I was in Knoxville. Doug is up next in Tulsa. Hello, Doug.
Hey, Paul. How's it going? Hope you're having a great day.
I am.
Hey, now, there is one issue that you did not talk about today that Congress dealt with, and so I need to go ahead and address that as well. And it does have to do with college football, possibly. Today, Congress, there's a subcommittee that met today that talked about a very strong possibility of the existence of aliens and UFOs, and they brought in high-level people that witnessed aliens and UFOs and flying crafts, and under testimony swore that they saw these. They said that the government actually has dead bodies of aliens and aircraft. So I don't think we're alone anymore, Paul. Now,
well,
you're like, what does this have to do with college football?
Are you really surprised by that? If I asked you this question, and I know that you may not be that long of a participant on this show, but if you had to name five people that call in this show that you think are legitimate candidates as aliens, who do you think they would be?
Now, Paul, you're ruining my thing here, because I was going to say that. I was going to ask at the very end, so you kind of ruined it, but I was going to ask if you think Jim from Tuscaloosa is an alien. So that's definitely
Doug,
one of them.
The answer is yes. I do believe Jim from Tuscaloosa came here in the 50s on a UFO.
See, that's what I thought. We're on the same level. We're on the same thing here.
And that's the secret to Jim. Jim doesn't age.
Exactly. And so my point was, is like, if we do find out they exist and they come out in public, you know, should we introduce UFOs, aliens to the SEC and, you know, try to get them to be college football fans? Maybe they already are secretly college football fans. We don't know. And then what if they want to play sports? Can we put them?
I mean,
you know,
I really do believe that Jim came here. He landed in Roswell, New Mexico, and the rest is history. We'll take a short break. Back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
We welcome all of you back, and let's continue with more phone calls here. And John is up next. Hey, John.
Paul, if Daryl is upset about how much money you make every year, he needs to research how much money Stephen A. Smith makes.
I am. He was right about one thing. When they start, you know, mowing the upper crust of the company over, I'm not concerned.
Paul, I wanted to get on yesterday, and you're just such a busy man, I couldn't. I was listening to the show and saw one of those previously on Feinbaum and heard you talking about how, you know, I just show up and sit in front of a teleprompter and I just read it. I don't know if it's true or not. And it almost reminded me of a perfect example of what this show can be sometimes. It's almost like a cross between Ron Burgundy and Joe Biden. You know, you just show up, the teleprompter goes, you read it, you're not responsible, you let other people deal with the consequences, and you just bumble your way through. And,
John, you know, I rarely dip into politics, but I feel very confident that I can read a teleprompter better than Joe Biden.
Well, and Paul, this is part of also why I wanted to call. You know, anybody who's successful, Nick Saban, Kirby Smart, Georgia, Alabama, there's always more work that goes into the locker room and the weight room that you don't see on the field. And I know your show in many ways has to be the same. We as fans probably think you show up at 3:50, you sit down, you do a show for 4 hours, and you leave, or 2:50, whatever it is. But I guess I want to ask you, how much prep time for every hour of the show that we as the fans see, how much prep time actually goes into the show?
It's one of those things that it's continual. It's not like cramming for a physics exam where, you know, it's all-nighter. But one thing that I truly believe, and I think if you hook me up to a blood pressure machine, that when from the time I get up in the morning and until I leave, the calmest 4 hours are during this show, because this is all, everything is already in the system, and the only time, you know, there would be anxieties if things start to crash. And and by the way, those things would be outside of my control. I have the easiest job here during the show. If you could go into the control room down the hall, that looks like an ER at 11:30 on a Saturday night. I mean, it's a little chaotic, there's almost nothing going on in here. I was taking some friends around earlier, showing them our studio, and I said, this is the worst place in the world to be during the show, because absolutely nothing happens in here.
Well, Paul, you have a fantastic show, and we know a lot of that is behind the works. Yes, you get the credit, but we know, just like a football team, there's, you know, position coaches and equipment managers, so much that makes part of a team that makes this such a great show that we don't see. So shout out to all the people that make the show great, and thank you for taking my call.
Thank you very much for the question, and interesting to go behind the scenes. Joseph is up next in Tupelo. Hello, Joseph.
Hey, Mr. Paul. Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
This is the first time I've been able to call since I left the hospital when I spoke with you last, and I'm doing great, by the way. But what I wanted to say is, do you think, I've got two things. Do you think that Ole Miss's penalties were real harsh compared to Tennessee and maybe a little bit on Michigan? Like, even they could they let it, not at least giving them a bowl ban?
Well, Ole Miss had very punitive penalties a couple of years ago, but you know, some of that was just simply the fact that the case was about over, and then they opened it up again.
Exactly. Yeah.
And, well, but the times are different. The NCAA was still in a investigative mode back then. They're really not anymore.
Yeah, I figure that's much. And the other thing I want to say is, I know you think I'm crazy, but I agree with Takeo Spikes. I think Quinshon Judkins will get 2,000 yards this year. And I do believe that the Rebels could win 10 games this year. I mean, the defense is going to be a lot better, I believe. And we've got the quarterbacks to let it happen. And also, I think we've got enough talent on board. And I think the only thing we're worried about is, I mean, we do have LSU at home. We've got A&M in Arkansas at home. And, I mean, of course, we go to Tuscaloosa. And we also go to Georgia. And I have tickets for that game and LSU. But we got State away as well. But if things happen a certain way, I know we got LSU and Alabama early, and that Tulane game is going to be rough. I think there is a chance if things happen, but we could win 10 games. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think Ole Miss has the talent, and it's just a matter of negotiating those. You know, I think Tulane is that's a win for Ole Miss. I think the real problems are those two games right there at LSU. Can they hold serve against LSU? And at Alabama, then LSU, and then, you know, the home. I mean, you have the two toughest teams in the country on the road. I look at that as losses. How do you deal with LSU and Texas A&M at home? And what do you do against Mississippi State? I mean, right now, I think Alabama and Georgia are the only sure losses on the schedule.
Yeah, I believe the same, but it's way too late played. But every time, the last time we've gone down there and played them, I mean, it's been a while, but I mean, we outscored. It was like 55-0, I believe.
Well, but yeah, I mean, Tulane is not the same team they were at the end of last season. But
no,
I mean, all I have to say is it's time for Lane Kiffin to back it up. He had that really big year a couple of years ago, and you know, last year it just went the opposite direction.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.